I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You are listening to Mist Apex iRacing Podcast. Let's get faster. Welcome to Mist Apex iRacing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Spanners Reddy, and I'm joined by Matt Two Rumpets. Hello, Matt.
Hey there, Spanners. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling good about my iRacing. I had a little break, actually, because, well, you know, stupid work, needed to, like, eat food and stuff, and I missed it. It made my heart fonder for iRacing, and also I'm glad because I missed Long Beach, which seemed a bit rubbish. But then we jumped into Suzuka, classic iRacing dilemma, which is I absolutely love it, but I'm terrible at it. So I both want it to continue and do more, and also I'm guarding my iRating jealously now.
Yeah, well, it's one of those tracks. It is one of my favorite tracks to drive, but I cannot claim to be even remotely competent around the thing, if I'm being honest.
And don't worry, guys, Matt isn't our expert today. We don't have Brad, but we are substituting in Dory _ N. Hello, Dory, and how's it going?
Hello, Desert Brad here. How you doing, boys?
Substitute Philpot is what you are. Desert, did you call yourself Desert Brad?
Desert Brad, there you go. Okay. I'm the Desert Brad. I live in the desert, and I want to be like Brad. That's how it goes.
You're in Israel. You're not in an actual desert, are you?
No, I'm always joking about it. Everything here is pretty mountainous, actually. So.
Excellent. Right, I should have introduced you first, really. You have by far the highest I rating between the three of us. You're pushing for 5K at the moment.
Yeah, just reached 4.9 the previous race. And two more races, hopefully. If not three, then it'll be 5K. I'll should make a video about it.
So Brad has been really struggling to get to 7K. It's been his white whale. And every time he gets close, he seems to have a technical fault or get taken out by someone. And and he's finding it a nightmare. And I often feel like Brad is actually restricted from enjoying iRacing by his iRating. Like you at 5K, do you not find it holds you back sometimes or stops you doing things?
Not yet, but I already thought about that and how it might limit my participation in the future. Already bought a Smurf to make sure I can do the fun stuff because really, after a certain point, 5.5, 6K, you kind of hit a wall where if the strength of field is low, then you're really putting yourself in danger. If you're having a bad race and you're going to, crash out and end up, getting last place, then you might lose an amount of iRating that will take you a week to recover.
Yeah.
So you can only participate in very specific splits at certain hours, and there's a lot of stress that comes with that. I bet it has nothing to do with how Brad drives his white whale. It's about his mindset. He's like, come on, I want to get there. And the closer he gets, the pressure just, mounts up.
It might be, actually. We were talking a lot about mindset in our Slack group, Matt. I don't know if you caught that conversation, but one of our swarm drivers was talking about just having a nightmare at the moment and just bleeding iRating. And it's put him from like top split in F3 all the way down to like third or fourth split. And we were actually talking about that mindset of fighting individual battles too hard. And Dory, the comment that came in was like, I'm a 2.4 iRating driver in my mind. I'm stuck in third split. I should be beating all these mugs. And then you get into more and more trouble. So it's weird how the iRating is like an identifier within the sport.
Yeah, it's about patience. You lose patience when you feel like you're the fastest driver on the grid. If you messed up your quali and you're in fifth place instead of pole position, you're gonna have an attention span of a 5-year-old. You're gonna be super aggressive and needlessly, because you're already faster. All you have to do is apply pressure and just wait for your turn. But it doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
I cannot possibly relate to this. I messed up qualifying yesterday and was in 22nd, not fifth.
Okay, Matt, I can absolutely beat that. I ended up in a 3,000 strength of field F3 race. It was top split, so that's great. But I absolutely nailed qualifying. I was like, I have sunk that black, and I was dead last of all the people who set a time. So I was 20th, having thought, yup, I'm there, boy. Nice qualifying, mate. So that kind of sucked. Right, where were we? Oh, yes, you can't have a Smurf account, Dorian. Is that where you have like an alt account? Is that?
Yeah, I'm only going to use it for silly stuff. I might do... Let's get to 4K iRating only with Formula V or something.
I see.
Just the, like, maybe try to race with only 80% throttle against rookies.
Okay.
That sort of ideas. Those are the things that are running through my head right now, just to make things fair.
It is a shame that there's no kind of formal mechanism for, I would call you one of the elite guys to then participate. Yeah, because if you go to Formula V, you're going to have like 700, 1,000 strength of field, and it's not worth you going. But I suppose they could argue, well, we don't actually want Dory, who's amazing, in the Formula V, ruining it for the rookies.
Yeah, that's why I try to... I mean, I agree with that. Smurfing is potentially bad. But first thing is that someone who's experienced as I am, he's going to get into rookies. Within 2-3 races, he's not going to be there anymore. So he's going to be in a much higher I rating. He's already going to be in a 2K split and then a 4K split. So he's going to end up at this level very, very quickly. It's not like when he just got on the service and had to learn everything all over again. So it's a short amount of pain. you don't suffer for long from those people. But I forgot my second point.
No, okay. No, I mean, my kind of relief from if I don't want to ruin my I rating is the Lucas Oil Trucks. So I can jump in the Lucas Oil Trucks and have a really good time. And I think I'm decent at that. But actually, I think the dirty secret with them, Dory, and I don't know if you've tried it, is I don't think anyone's good at them. I think everyone's just randomly flying over the jumps and hitting walls.
Why is it called smurfing? I have no idea, Mark.
Ooh, you're reading the live chat. Look, we've got a name which is written in Hebrew. My Hebrew's a little rusty, so you'll have to tell me how to pronounce that user's
Ariel.
Name. Ariel. Okay, hello, Dorian. Ariel says, you're number one. How do you manage the tires? Thank you. So basically saying, calling you a tire whisperer. And are you a tire whisperer in iRacing?
Comparatively speaking, I suppose. I mean, it depends on who you compare me against. People in my class, like 4-5K drivers, 3K drivers, it varies dramatically. Some people are just insanely good on tires. I would say I'm in the 20th percentile, so to speak.
Okay, well, I have no idea, because me and Matt, I mean, Matt, we've been just using the F3 tires, really, and they last forever, bar a bit of overheating.
Yeah, well, in the endurance racing I've done, it occasionally comes up as an issue, but I tend to be good on them, but I don't tend to be good on them because I'm good on them. I tend to be good on them because I'm just, like, that much slower than everybody else I'm racing with.
So you're not pushing. So why don't you teach us a little bit, Dory? Can you tell us the secrets to preserving some tires? How can we Perez ourselves? And actually, which series is it where you find that the tire preservation is useful? Are we talking more like GT3, IndyCar?
Well, it depends on the race length. In GT3 fixed, it's 20 minutes. Not really thinking about the tire wear as much as I'm thinking about the tire temperature. And that's the same thing I did with F3s. I do that with every car I drive. First things first, the tire temperature leads to tire wear. That we all know that.
Right. Yes, we all know that. Matt, nod.
So if your tire is overheating and it's over pressure, then it has too much pressure, then it's going to wear out faster. So you want to manage the front and rear tires temperatures, and that will lead to better tire wear.
Okay. So what I heard was magic happens, then it's better tire wear.
The
big bracket there was just manage them. How what are you doing? What are we actually managing? Because is Matt's method of just driving like grandpa, is that the one?
Or using as little brakes as possible without losing pace.
Oh, so overbraking is...
So I'll brake earlier just so I can brake softer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'll try to carry more speed into the braking zone instead of trying to brake as late as possible, even though it potentially could be the same amount of lap time. But if I can avoid losing pace by braking earlier and 10% less, that's what I'll do in every car.
Okay, so I wasn't really thinking about braking as being part of tire wear. Is it because you're introducing heat into it? And of course, yeah. I guess, you know, you've got the retardation of trying to slow down your pace by using the tires, essentially, when you're braking. You're stopping the wheels from turning and they grip the ground and slow you down. That heats them up. I guess the drums heat them up as well. But I've not really thought about this. So even in F3, where overheating tires can cause you problems, should I consider sometimes, you know, just braking longer?
Yeah. The way the tire model works in iRacing in general is that under braking, the tire temperatures spike up like crazy and then immediately get reduced. Very quickly, they go back to normal. So in that process, if you're trying to turn in while the tires are boiling hot, then you're going to have excessive wear, understeer. You're not going to be as quick into the corner. And I always talk about that in my F3 track guides, where you want to peak very high, but you want to release very quickly because you don't want to ride the brakes all the way into the corner. You want to carry as little brakes as possible while you're turning in that initial turn in where all the load is on the front tires. If you overheat them slightly, you're just going to wash out. You're going to understeer.
Okay, so hang on a minute. Right, let's break that down a little bit. Matt, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, fundamentally, as he's described the physics model of how the temperatures apply to the tires, it makes a lot of sense to me. You want to get on the brakes early, reduce your speed, and then lighten them so the tires return to the temperature where they have maximum grip, i.e. like in the sweet spot.
And it's happening that quickly, the temperature spikes. So like you can cool them down by getting off them a little bit before you start, you know, your main turning.
By the time you're on the exit, leaning on the rear tires, the front tires have cooled off.
Ah, okay. So I need to watch this.
It's very, you know, minute.
Matt.
Okay, so I have two questions. One is racecraft. The other is just simply a braking question, which is a lot of times people say, oh, you should trail brake into that corner. Yeah. You should brake all the way to the apex. Is this a technique you can use with trail braking? That's my first question.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. Great question.
So trail braking is a technique that basically manages the weight of the car and allows for less slip from the front tires, so you'll have better turning throughout the corner. So if you're minimizing the slip, you're minimizing heat. If you're minimizing heat, you're getting more grip and minimizing wear as a result. So absolutely.
Ah, okay. And what was your racecraft question, Matt?
And this actually, you were talking about being patient earlier. I was trying to be patient when I started from 22nd and wound up getting absolutely nabbed at the chicane by someone who was being less than patient with the person they were trying to get around. But if you were going to brake earlier and you've got people like behind you, how do you manage that? Like, okay, well, I want to brake at the 100-meter board into the chicane, but I know I can brake later than that, and other people are. So what's the answer there?
So basically, let's say you were supposed to, where do you think you were supposed to qualify? Like if you nailed your lap?
Somewhere between 11th and 14th.
Okay, so 11th and 14th, that means the people in 22nd place, if they indeed did a good qualifying run, and that's their pace, then it doesn't matter where you both brake. You're going to be faster into the apex. If you brake earlier and they brake later, you'll still reach the apex sooner because they're losing a ton of pace somewhere. They're losing a lot of time. And if not, then you'll, by all accounts, be able to overtake them on the exit. You don't have to think about, you know, if I'll brake early, then someone will overtake me, because they might get the jump on you just a little bit, but yeah, into the braking zone, the apex, they're going to lose all that time back. And you'll be able to either switch back on them or just be first to the apex and close the door.
It's amazing on the braking recently. I found that, well, because Kyle's just been yelling at me to, is to not treat every corner like you're stamping on, you know, on the brakes for a hairpin in a go-kart. And there's a lot of corners where you have to subtly manage your braking. And Suzuka, where F3 is this week, is a prime example of that. So like into Degner 2, for example, you're braking a lot longer down the hill than you normally would. And it's quite a light brake. And also around that horrendous second turn in Spoon, going on to the towards 130R, you're not even using the brakes really to stop. You're using the brakes to steer. That's been a journey. And I think that's why I'm slow at Suzuka, because I'm very binary with the brakes, Dory. I can stamp on them pretty well, but it's that kind of light control that I struggle with.
Well, once you understand the theory of brakes and throttle are there to manage the weight of the car and not to decelerate or accelerate, and then do 50,000 laps, you'll click with it one day and you'll start steering with the brakes and the throttle instead of trying to do everything with the steering wheel. Steering wheel is just to initially point me towards the right direction. And from that point on, everything I'm doing to correct the car, to make it wash out, make it go tighter and not lose the rear end, is going to be with the pedals.
I, for one, would like to hear slightly more explanation of this weight management system with brake and throttle, if we have the time.
Is that all right, Dory? We're using you as a bit of a teacher.
Yeah, no worries. That's what I'm here for. Well, basically, when you brake, you put weight on the front tires. When you accelerate, you put weight on the rear tires. Now, we can react to either understeer or oversteer with weight transfers. Instead of trying to correct them with the wheel, we're going to react to them with weight transfer. So if I'm losing the rear end, I'm going to have to ask myself where I'm losing the rear end. If it's on corner entry and I got all the weight in the front tires and I'm losing the rear end, that means I need to apply more weight on them. And I'm going to start touching the throttle just a little bit to stabilize it back, put some pressure on it. Like, just like you would with extra downforce, if you could just add downforce to the car. So that's the idea of basically managing the weight. If on the corner exit, I'm understeering while accelerating, then I'm going to lift the throttle a little bit to put some weight back on the front tires and prevent the understeer on exit. As he leaves while I speak, how rude. Well, and that's pretty much how I go about it. I mean, it's just, if you're understeering and you're on corner entry, then you want more weight on the front tires. It's basically putting the weight where you loosen the grip. That's the theory around it.
Okay, so this requires me to sort of identify then what's going wrong in the turn.
Yes.
But as I think about like my approach to a turn, let's start, since I was complaining about the chicane at Suzuka. Let's say I'm coming up to the entry to the chicane at Suzuka. How would I want to manage my weight going into that turn?
You're talking about the final chicane?
The final chicane, yes.
Okay, so final chicane, you're, first things first, you're going to start with the braking. So you're coming in, it's the hardest braking point on the track. So the first thing you want to do is manage the front tire temperatures. So you want to peak high and release quickly and trail brake all the way into the apex. And just have as minimal amount of brakes right as you mount the apex. Now, as soon as you mount that apex, it's going to upset the car. Naturally, there's a big altitude change. So it's going to bounce the suspension around. So you want to give it a little bit of throttle to put some weight on the rears to stabilize the car. So we'll mount that curb.
Interesting. Imola as well, the final chicane at Imola. That's something that Kyle was yelling at me for as well, was he's like, yes, get onto the curbs a little bit. But actually, you just need a little bit of throttle to help the wheels, kind of rotate the wheels, have the weight at the rear to help you stabilize. And that's the last thing you want to do when you've hit a big curb and your VR's shaking you around the place is apply throttle. You're hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, you want to get some weight on the rear tires and you want to have more momentum and have the car be, I guess, inertia-wise, it'll be heavier while mounting the curb if you're using throttle. So we'll have more inertia. That way the curb won't upset it as much.
Okay, cool. Look, this is really interesting that we've gone down the tire management and the weight management route. Just to kind of wrap up the tire management and get back to that just for a second, we covered basically tire management on entry. So we want to make sure that we're not cooking the tires on braking. Traditionally, I had thought, really, the main tire wear came from leaning on it in the corners. Is that not so?
Not necessarily, no. The braking, the point where you brake and initiate the turn in is the point where it's the easiest to max out the tire. So the tire is always going to have an X amount of grip. That's not going to change unless the weather changes and whatnot, but the tire will always have a constant amount of grip. So the easiest way to use that, 100% of that grip is to brake and turn in. And that way the tire will let you know exactly when it's given up. So under brakes, while turning in the car initially to the corner, that's where you're using the most out of the tire. Inside the corner, it's way, way harder in a mid-corner while you reach the apex to really be on the limit. That's how you get to be Max Verstappen. He knows how to do that every time.
Okay, we're not probably there. We're not there, Matt. I don't think most of us are.
We're humans. We breathe air and stuff. Yeah. So we can do that. But we can, the way someone like me, a pleb, would try to get close to his pace would be to be as accurate as he is under brakes, where it's easier for me to reach the limit and then take it a little bit easier through the mid corner.
This is absolutely fascinating because one thing I had accidentally kind of discovered with the F3, some tracks towards the end of the race, you do struggle a bit on entry. And I have been moving my brake bias forward because someone suggested it once. And that has been at least just helping that entry stability. Now, you're shaking your head. You think that's not my solution if I start losing the rears?
You were losing the rears.
Yeah, I was losing the rears.
I thought
you
were losing the fronts. And yes, absolutely. You want to move the brake bias forward. Some drivers, Alan Day, who I mentioned earlier, he will change the brake bias per corner, like a proper racing driver. I can't do that. Don't have the attention span. And I'll make a mistake. I'm not as adaptable as he is. But I will change it through the course of a race. Even when I'm doing Brands Hatch right now with the GT3s, the fixed race. So it's only 20 minutes. But I can already feel the front tire starting to let go past lap 6, lap 7. And I will click it back once or twice. That will balance the car out a little bit.
That is interesting. So Suzuka is the only place I've been tempted to change it from corner to corner. Because you've got that turn 1 where I feel like I want to be sharp on the front, to get that turn in on that kind of sweeping two-stage right-hander. But then the rest of the lap, you're kind of dragging your brakes into Degner, dragging your brakes into Spoon, and that's when I want it a little bit further back. But you're right, I probably don't have the attention span either. Matt?
Yeah, so one thing I've noticed about my own driving style, and well, this is interesting, because if you take Spanners and me, we tend to be better on different kinds of tracks. Like, he tends to be faster on some tracks. I tend to be faster on the other. But one thing I noticed about the way I like to drive the car is I really feel like I like to have it slow as early as possible and then be on the throttle. And I think that may be because I have a difficult time, I think as Spanners mentioned as well, with sort of these lighter percentages braking. Oh, brake consistently at 20%, like 50%, 60% I can give you. But like even in Suzuka and to entering Spoon, there's a light break there, and I would feel like I was pressing exactly the same amount. And sometimes I would absolutely not be taking any speed off at all and just be hanging on for dear life. And then other times it would be exactly right, and I would gain 2-3 tenths. So do you have a suggestion for ways to practice finding these lighter levels of braking for people like myself?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, there's the easy solution, which is buy better gear, right? It's not easy for everyone, but it's the easiest fix. If you buy better gear, you'll have an easier time. You'll have more feedback in your brake pedal to know when you're on that 5%, 10%. And
so Matt and I have the same brakes, I think. We've got the CSL load, Elite load.
Then it's definitely not the gear.
Okay, it's just that means you're just rubbish, Matt. Can I just ask a question, Matt? Because it comes with different stiffnesses. I put it on the hardest stiffness because I'm like, hoo-yah. Are you on the hardest one as well?
Pretty much. I think I have 185in there with the rest of them being 95.
Okay, and so now we know, Dorian, that we're limited by talent and not equipment.
Not necessarily. It could be settings. It could be flex.
Yeah.
Do you have flex in your rig?
Oh, like yeah. Matt, you're still on an office chair, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do I have flex? Well, let's see. I've got my pedals shoved up against some binders that are shoved up against a wall. Okay. And I have to keep my right foot firmly planted or the whole thing pops up in the air when I try and brake.
That doesn't sound ideal. Yeah,
there's your problem. I mean, easy fix. Just, you know, find a solution that where the brake pedal, forget about everything else. Forget the force feedback. Forget the brake pedal should never move. That you won't be able to develop muscle memory because that's all you want to do. You want to kind of educate new neurons in your brain to tell you exactly when you're on that 5%. Have the inputs right in front of you as you do. So your eyes will tell your brain, will tell your feet when is 5%.
So Matt, I take it you don't want to go down the play seat challenge seating. Or
that's not going to solve this problem.
No,
I would love to go down the firmly built rig, aka Bradfluence route, if I could A, afford it, or B, had room for it in my current situation.
The problem
I have now is I'm just limited by space.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be an issue, Dorian. Not everybody's got a dedicated space like you have in your new pad.
Oh, the rubbish rigs that I've had over the years even start. The same desk rigs with the same solution Matt had, where I had to keep my foot planted so it wouldn't move. But I wasn't trying to be competitive back then. I was just doing laps, so I couldn't find my problems as easily. And you constantly compare yourself to other people. It's a lot easier to find your issues.
It's a shame. I would want Matt to have like a proper solid rig just so that you wouldn't have an excuse, because you're just always throwing that in my face.
I got to go for what I got, man.
And if you're faster than me, it hurts even more because I've absolutely maxed out my rig right now. Oh, quick one. We're talking about our relative pace. We swarm series. So we're going to be swarming the GT3 Spa 24 at the end of the month. Currently, we're still swarming the F3. Matt, how much fun was it in our split two race where we had me, you, Colton, Barry, Colin, I think Richard was in there as well. But we had like six of us all in that split two. And for two races in a row, we had like a pack of four of us kind of, you know, up in the top 10, using teamwork, communicating. And it was really good until I found myself behind you and I realized I made a little mistake. You got past me. And then I realized the best team result here is if I play rear gunner to Matt, and that hurt. Because you were even saying, if you want to get by. I'm like, no, that's not the best thing for our little swarm at the moment. I have to sit and play number two to bloody trumpets.
I'd say that's very real life. I mean, I did offer, I actually lifted because I thought you were going to pull back in front of me. But I know you have more pace than me, slightly more pace at Suzuka. But what was interesting, like with you following me and me following you, is that we were actually faster at different parts of the track.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're both wildly inconsistent, so that's likely to happen. But yeah, it was wonderful. I really loved that kind of team mentality. So, we could spot like lunatics, like the lunatic aliens coming through. And I'd be literally going, hey, Colin, up front, that guy like Jeff, he's an absolute maniac. Trust me, give him the place. Just give it to him.
Or call out people spinning ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah, it's
useful. Absolutely saved my bacon.
Thing is, though, with Dorian, you're a lone wolf. You fly alone. Or do you do any team stuff?
I was thinking about it, but I backed out.
Fair enough.
I got pretty much accepted into a proper esports team, but I had to back out. Not going to name any names. It's just... It's a little too try hard for me.
Were they a bunch of silly sausages and you didn't like them?
No, they're a decent bunch of guys, but the whole atmosphere of of that team, or maybe any esport team, is just, all right, pace, show us your pace.
And that was it. Yeah.
No lap. What sort of lap you can do? Okay, that's good. Let's compare it to other people. Okay. Is that it? Yeah. Okay.
Whereas in our swarm, where it's quite supportive, you know, you make like one in one of those scenarios I described, one of the lads who's really consistent and a real team player spun in the hairpin. I just missed him, but he then took out another one of our guys behind, and it wasn't a "you idiot, you've ruined everything." You know, at least it was quite supportive and nice. And I want to get to how you're supporting the entire iRacing community, Dory.
Oh, big words.
The main reason we invited you on here in the first place is because I saw your fantastic track guide at Barcelona, and the way you kind of really patiently talked through in slow time the best way to go around the lap. One thing that particularly impressed me was the curbs on turn one, where you were like, it is faster to do this, to straddle the curb. Don't do that. You're not good enough. And I just love the confidence of that statement, because it definitely applied to like 99% of the people listening to it. Those track guides are fantastic. I think quite probably the best track guides in iRacing. Well, oh, sorry, Stuffy. Second best.
Fired, Stuffy.
Well, Stuffy's not here, so you're here.
He's going to see this and get salty.
But you are actually doing them, or iRacing are using your track guides, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's. I was surprised when Alex approached me, when iRacing approached me. Yeah, they saw my LMP2 track guide that I've done recently for the Red Bull Ring. Yeah. And they liked it, and they asked if they could post it on their channels. Like, of course you can.
Wow.
And I offered to do exclusive track guides for them, and they're like on board. They really want to do community content, so community created content, I guess is how you say it. And so I'm just rolling with it, you know.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm so impressed just with your channel and your content. You are woefully underfollowed, so if we can do anything about that, it's Dory_N, isn't it? Dory N. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay, Matt, why don't we make sure we hook up a plug for that on the F1 show as well, put a link in the show notes. No, because you do things the right way. You've got a genuine inspiration to help the community and make the community better, and you're not just out for yourself. And I admire that, and I'm not afraid to say it.
All right. I'll put the money in your PayPal account later.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, well, I do want to say that one of the things I appreciate most about your track guides is the fact that a lot of times you will point out visual minders for braking and turning. A lot of times I don't see those when I'm trying to figure out laps on my own. They're super duper helpful. But that said, I do have a complaint.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Constructive criticism.
We've praised you enough. Now, screw you.
Basically, I will watch your video and I will do exactly everything you say, and somehow yet I am still 2 seconds slower than you, and I feel like this needs to be addressed.
Yeah, when are you going to fix that, Dory?
When are you going to fix your brake pedals? That's all I have to say. I mean, you're probably losing half a second a lap on that alone. But and by the way, I'm good at improvising racing rigs. I made them one out of cardboard pretty much, so I can help you with that.
But, that should be one of your next videos, Dory. How to make a good...
How to make a ghetto rig.
a ghetto brake setup for a desk. For the desk clamp setup, how do you make a secure braking? Because that's the hardest thing to set up when you've got that kind of desk clamp.
Yeah, essentially, if you want some tips, you just got to make everything stand alone. So you want the TV to stand on its own desk,
yep.
and the wheel to stand on another. That way the wheel won't vibrate the TV. And you want the pedals to lean on a wall. In my old house, the wall had a hole in it because of my braking. So I leaned on it that hard. I had something to hold it in place, and it was leaning against the wall, and I brake with like 120 kilos of pressure sometimes. I brake very hard. So it made a hole in the wall.
Because I had a rolling chair with wheels. So when you brake, it just goes backwards. I had a cabinet that I would then move to insert between the back of my seat and the wall. Exactly. To stop
Brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. That's 10,000 extra. That's what you do. You improvise to create rigidity. That's what you do.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome. So wonderfully, Dory, we've not got to really any of the topics that I had planned to get to today, but let's try and correct that now. I wanted to talk to you briefly about the setups in iRacing, because the new iRacing setups have evolved a little bit, and hopefully we'll have a bit of time to talk about the difference between a single-seater and GT3s as well. But let's start with the setups. I posted in your Discord earlier, Dorian, that the F3 fixed is now the real F3, and the F3 open is the Hacker League. And I've heard so many people just breathe a sigh of relief at the F3 fixed, because there's no longer people just inexplicably 4 seconds ahead of them. And I think the F3 fixed has exposed, at least to me, that there's a huge problem in the setup world. I just feel like it's a bit broken.
Yeah, and you sense that in GT3s. You sense that anywhere you'll find an open setup and a popular series. So IMSA, ESS, VRS, F3, for example. Everything where you can really have a lot of different options to adjust the car in, there's tons and tons of exploits there. There's probably not a lot of exploits in the MX-5 because there's barely any setup options. But the more buttons you get to push, there's more exploits to be found. Mm. And one could say it's only fair because it happens in a real world where a company like Mercedes invests more time, more money, more talent into setting up a car and end up with a better result. But those are clear what they're doing with esports level setups are clear exploits. They're bugs in the system that shouldn't exist, and they're taking it to a whole other level. You're running 20% the wing everyone else is, yet you're more stable. And I've driven those setups.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, you're basically a god.
Yeah.
You're taking a 3K pleb and you're putting him in a 6K split, and he's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, I found a setup. Someone shared it with me at Spa, and it was the negative rake setup. And yeah, a little bit harder. Was it you? I can't remember if it was you that shared that. A little bit harder,
so.
But it was like more than half a second a lap for free. And you just go, oh, okay, well.
6 months ago, Spa, F3, there was an exploit that was patched. Then the car's ride height was at a certain, when you got it to a certain sweet spot, a certain level, you can minimize the wing by 80%. And not lose grip in the corners.
Oh.
So that ended up with people who are two, three seconds faster than me.
Yeah.
And I did the work, and I was 2/10 off the VRS lap times because they can't cheat. They're selling those things and they promote it on iRacing. And people who are 2-3 seconds than me, I was like, I'm doing something wrong. I'm gonna back out. I didn't race that week.
Yeah.
And that was a huge bummer. And thank God that iRacing are at least doing more fixed series, but yeah.
Well, it's an evolution, isn't it? So it's an evolution with these setups. When they first came out, I think people were a little bit disappointed. They were a bit hit and miss and they were off pace. But I think we've all noticed an improvement where now between the fixed F3 and the open series, most of our swarm drivers are kind of middling level. once they get used to the iRacing setup, they're not changing when they go back to the open. There might be a tenth or two in it, but they're just like, no, I'll just stick with this. They've been decent.
Really decent. In my track guide, I was 3/10 off VRS with the fixed setup. I didn't make any adjustments. Usually I'll make some adjustments. I was like, nope, this is fine. I tried to reduce downforce, didn't work. It was right where it needed to be, and it was super easy to drive, and that's what you want out of the setup. It wasn't as potentially quick as a very competitive setup, but so easy to drive that I can be right on limit the whole race and the whole lap, and it was really good. They really nailed it with the fixed F3 setups.
So as they get better at doing their own setups in general, I can see a place for open setups. Say, for example, okay, there's the odd league, say 3.5 or Formula One, the McLaren. That's an open setup, and it's like a highly technical league. But for the vast majority of the participation series, they could just have, like we supply on our Missed Apex series, a safe setup, a medium setup, and a pro setup, and just go, right, there's your three. You pick between them, but you just get rid of all the potential for like these weird exploits, which are game-breaking, aren't they? And they're going to spend forever chasing them.
Yeah, it's very apparent in Top Split. If I'll go into VRS Sprint right now, which is a 40-minute race open setup, we're talking about the same people, same soft, same strength of field, let's say 4K strength of field. I'll end up with a paid setup. A setup will cost me $2 or something. I'll end up in the top 10 somewhere. So 7th, 8th, 5th if I'm having a really good race. Right now in fixed, I'm podium, 2nd, 3rd, 1st sometimes, because we're really stacked up against each other. I'm not even using the best car. I'm just using the car I'm used to. But everybody are limited by the same thing, and I'm having way more fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. Dorian, last thing I want to bother you with while you're here, while we've got you, is something that will benefit me in particular. And most of the content on this show is me asking advice on things that will benefit me specifically. So,
I love it.
Firstly, Matt, we're moving from single seaters. I know you've done a lot of endurance stuff, but how are you feeling about our foray into a bit of endurance? We're looking at the Spa 24, which is all GT3. I have zero confidence going into that. Having driven the odd tin top, I can't drive them. I'm terrible. How are you feeling?
I'm delighted because, frankly, my SR needs the kind of help that a 24-hour race can give it after all this F3 driving.
I'm at 2.5 right now. I'm at a 2.5.
But I will tell you that the key, from my point of view, and having raced with people who are faster than me, almost everyone is faster than me. Usually it's a big struggle to get, there or thereabouts with my fastest lap. But the real thing is, can I be consistent and can I not drive into walls and or other cars? That's really the key to every stint you run between the first one and the last one. So if you can put in consistent lap times without crashing the car, then you are invaluable driver for any endurance team.
Okay, slow up. You are way ahead of my level here when you're talking about your fancy not crashing. Okay, I'm not there at all. Dorian, I know you've been doing some GT3 videos. Is there anything you can do to just go like, okay, listen here, single seater dum-dum, this is what you've got to do to get into a GT3. What mindset do I need to change?
Yeah. Well, we talked about weight transfers earlier. So basically, you want to take everything I said about that and crank it up to 11.
Oh.
Because there's so much more weight and so much more suspension travel. It seems like they're not moving around a lot, but compared to F3, they're mountain bikes. They're moving around like crazy. And managing that weight, being gentle with the car, I keep telling people in my Israeli iRacing League, you got to tell the car, you have to tell the car what you're going to do before you're going to do it, or it just won't respond. It's too heavy. The F3, you can turn on a dime, you can stop on a dime.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. There's no weight there. But with the GT3s, you have to really rotate slowly, let it know, look, I'm going to rotate the car now.
Like warning.
I'm going to turn in. I'm going to look for the apex. So is that okay? And she's going to tell you, the car is going to tell you, Look, I'm not sure that's a great idea. Okay, I'll open up the wheel now.
It's arguing okay. with you mid-corner.
Yeah, she's having a discussion with you because you're going so stupidly slowly mm-hmm. compared to F3. So she, it's a whole conversation every corner. You're just, is this okay? Are you feeling okay with that? Yeah, okay, great. I'm going to turn in some more. No? Okay, fine. Because you have the time to kind of see that coming.
It's about patience, Dorian, and just... You know, not just in iRacing, just in life in general. I'm not, you know, I'm someone who is now, I go back and watch ET and I'm like, oh my God, this is so long and boring. Nothing's happening. I think it's going to take a mindset adjustment here. So it really is like patience. Everything is slowed down. But with everything slowed down a little bit, does that give me as a single seater driver more of an opportunity to kind of actually work on some core skills in a slightly slower time?
Coming in from F3s into GT3s, if you'll adapt the mindset of if you adapt to the fact that you're driving a much heavier machine, you're gonna have some advantages because you're gonna be more comfortable pushing the car because all of a sudden you're good on the curbs. You're always used to being so careful on the curbs. Yep. Now you can just go across them like crazy, and be more aggressive. You have traction control. You have ABS. You can save the car easy. So easier, and just try not to drive it like an F3, but definitely use its advantages over the F3.
And which way do you think is easier, going from F3 to GT3 or GT3 back?
No idea. It's easier to be consistent. I can say about, like, I don't know how to make that comparison because I don't remember what I drove first, but it's easier to be consistent on GT3s. Way, way, way easier. They're not as sharp. Everything's a little bit slower. So for a boomer like me with 15-second reaction time, it's a lot easier to keep the car on the track at the same sort of
You're
pace.
You're not a boomer. Look at your fantastic complexion. Okay, look, Matt's 55.
It will be in about a month.
Yeah, I'm 40. How old are you, Dory?
33, so I'm not technically as boomer
look
as
at you. You're a millennial. You're a little.
I get beaten by 14-year-olds in top split. Okay, I'm a boomer. I'm a freaking boomer compared to those guys.
I do have to remember. I think there is a relatively mature community in iRacing. It's not like I jumped on Onward on Rift on Oculus, and suddenly like there was literally like 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds in there, which ruined it for me. But you have to kind of remember sometimes when you're doing iRacing, you go, I'm a fully grown-up 40-year-old man here. And if I'm going to get angry at some kid who's like wiped me out, I'm like, I could just be yelling at a 15-year-old. Yet another reason to have the game chat off.
Yeah, I did that a few times.
Did you? I couldn't possibly imagine you losing it on game chat, Dory. Couldn't imagine it.
I try not to these days.
Me too.
I try not to do that. But I used to be terrible at it.
Yeah.
I used to be like, I'm not going to even think. I'm just going to push the talk button and everything that is
your anger
that has built up inside of me for 30 years is going to come out very moment.
Not even just racing terrible. Anger, just life anger.
Everything, everything, mortgage, everything.
Yeah.
Right there.
This is for all the Sundays wasted at Sunday school. They didn't mention the dinosaurs once. All that kind of thing. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. That's a good place to leave it. If you want to follow Dory, I can't promise the links will be in the show notes below because I'm bad at the show notes. Matt normally does it for me with F1. But we could link to all Dory's stuff, couldn't we, Matt?
Yeah, we certainly could.
Yeah, what's the main thing we should look out for on your media platforms, Dory?
What do you mean?
Like, what are you boasting about? What's your flex? What's your, like, follow me for this? I did this great video on a thing.
Track guides, and when I do a race videos, I talk about my mindset. And if you want to, try to improve your racecraft, I try to give some information on that when I do race videos as well.
Oh, your best recent video is the I'm going to drive deliberately, conservatively, let a bunch of people through, not fight people, not be an idiot. And look, it still worked out fine.
When was that?
It was like you were fed up with, I think this is just before you nearly quit F3 for good. And you did a video where you were like, okay, look, I'm not going to fight this early battle. Let them go ahead and crash.
Oh, yeah. When starting from the back, you really have to do that. You really have to do that, especially when there's a big pace difference.
Fair enough. You can follow Matt as well, I suppose, at MattPT55 on Twitter. You don't make videos or anything, though. lazy.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I just rant into the ether.
Yeah, fair enough. On Twitter and Facebook, yeah, you post pictures of trumpets.
Yeah, and food that my daughter bakes, to be fair.
Okay, yeah. Well, go follow Matt. Go find Matt Trumpets on Facebook in the account that we bullied him to have. Follow Dory by searching for Dory underscore N on YouTube. Follow this show at iRacing Podcast and me at Spanners Ready. Until we see you next, work hard, be kind, and have fun. Let's get faster. I'm not convinced with that catchphrase. With the F1, we've got, we live F1. With that, let's get faster. I don't know, Matt. I'm not convinced.
Let's go racing.
Let's go racing, kind of. I could just go, we live iRacing. But then if my wife ever heard that, she'd be like, I knew it. I knew iRacing was more important to you than...
Austin would be the single word coming out her mouth.
Like, day to day, iRacing isn't more important than my family. But when I'm iRacing, like, I'm like, oh, I wonder how my family will be. Like, it never invades that space. I'm in an iRacing bubble, and I'm happy with that. Yeah. Excellent.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.